Really appreciate him. Thank you for that. And it's been interesting to watch how government is so buddy buddy lockstep, and I don't like it. And so I appreciate David running, and I think he has a little bit of a firmer grasp, let's say, on the Constitution. And so you can go hear him speak and ask him questions for yourself tonight, 7 o'clock, Washington City Library. Well, I'll take your calls. And in fact, I have Eric Moutsos with me too. Eric, we have some things to talk about because I was just talking with David Levitt about the business, you know, the concert that just happened. And I have to say that event was amazing.
It really was.
It really was.
The spirit of liberty was strong.
Oh my gosh, you could feel it.
You cried.
It was palatable. Yeah. You couldn't not, because you were looking at all these people that were not terrified and afraid, that all got together and had a really wonderful time, and it felt normal. And it felt normal for the first time in a long time. And people were so appreciative of that. And they were so appreciative of how do I say this? Of America, of being able to exert that. And so I have to give a hats off, which I should have when I spoke, to the people that allowed that to be on their property. That was great on them. I really appreciated them doing that up in Cedar.
That's right. And that's what every business owner in their capacity needs to look like.
Right.
Because you can't have liberty without morality, and it's immoral to lock somebody away. It's immoral to shut down any business at any level. When you go in and you see these restaurants at, you know, 50% capacity,
yeah,
that's theft.
Yes.
You're stealing from them.
Yes.
And there are
lawsuits right now, and I'm glad that they're suing Cox and Herbert. I'm really glad, because they need to be shown the damage that's been done.
And you know, it's funny with Spencer Cox, I'm watching his debates. He's saying, well, this is President Trump. No, it isn't, because they asked President Trump months ago, what about states like Utah? And you know what Trump said?
What's that?
They should be open tomorrow.
Yeah.
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
So Spencer Cox is not telling the truth. Spencer Cox is trying to play both sides of the political aisle to get votes. He's trying to play the left, and he's stuck. You know, when they asked him last night, they said, well, are you a Trump supporter? And he was like, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Little does everyone know is that in January, what's that Ainge guy up in Utah County? Danny Ainge's son. Danny Ainge's son. He posted an anti-Trump tweet. Mm-hmm. Well, guess who liked that anti-Trump tweet in January of 2020? Spencer Cox. And we have a snapshot of it.
Jeez.
And so he is not a Trump supporter.
But
he's trying to play both sides.
Yeah.
And he can't do it.
Well, it's a little impossible.
You can't serve two masters.
I agree with that. And it was interesting, you know, I'm not a fan of Todd Wheeler. He did make a point, though, and the point was that even Huntsman was, you know, when in the 2008 election was, oh, yeah, I'm staying in, you get me in, and then left for the Obama position, you know, to China. And so, you know, there's all kinds of shenanigans going on. And so I just... we need some normal again.
It's liberty. It's liberty.
Yeah.
And freedom plus freedom plus morality equals liberty. Freedom and liberty aren't the same things. People think that you just because we have freedom means we have liberty. Nope. It's proper choices, like having a big, awesome concert.
Yes. Well, I have to applaud you, because you got that thing all together. And let me tell you, there were 5,000-6,000 people?
Yeah, it was amazing.
A lot of people showed up, and that wasn't even with a huge amount of advertising. That was actually a small amount of advertising. So I was shocked to see the number of people turning out, and how many more people wanted to go and didn't even know but wanted to go and were expressing their support. And so I'm really appreciative that you did that. I'm sure that as you stood there and saw all of that, Guy Fieri even shows up from the Food Channel. I was like, what? And all of a sudden you had this crowd of people that were really vested in helping each other, wanting to make sure that we had some normal. It was a really wonderful event, and it was the first concert after this whole COVID thing, during it even, because they're trying to push the second wave right now, and it's not working. We have a million, just a reality check. So, by the way, kudos to you. And I would imagine you would have been very emotional looking out on that crowd.
Oh, I was. I cried several times. I was hiding tears.
Yeah, you would have to, because it was pretty amazing what he pulled off. So kudos to you on the Utah Business Revival. But just a reality check. 1.2 million active cases in a population of 337 million people today. Okay. The active cases, meaning people are just testing positive. They're not even sick. Only 16,000, just over 16,000 people, even considered serious, that have other things. It's called comorbidity. They have another illness, disease, heart disease, cancer, and they just happen to test for COVID virus on the very generic PCR test. 16,000 out of how many? Oh, yeah, that's right. 337 million people. So the reality check is there is no second wave. You're being duped again. Mm-hmm. You're being manipulated again. And you know what? You've got to be getting sick of this. And our state's no different. They're trying to run up the same flag of, oh my gosh, you know what? No, I'm sorry. The deaths are still older, nursing home. I mean, we're not talking randomly hitting everybody next to you. So I just wanted to make sure we had a reality check on that today. Be right back.
We were born. Also longer than the sun, and a bonnie boat was won as we sail into the misty. Hark now, hear the sailors cry.
Hi there, welcome back. Kate Daly Show. Of course you can call up. 888-673-1450. 888-673-1450. And glad to be on the air today. I've got Melissa coming up. You can actually ask questions during the next hour if you'd like. And then Susan's coming in. So much to talk about today. And they're going to bring up some really great topics. So I'm really happy about that. On Friday, tomorrow we have Chris Ann Hall. On Friday, a different show. In fact, I have somebody that spent some time in prison that wants to talk about that experience. And I think that it's going to be really interesting to hear what was learned, what happened, the experience of that, because, you know, probably not a lot of you are ever going to experience that. And I think it's important. It's interesting. And what they learned about themselves, everything, how they got through it. And then also the crash of 1972, a couple of politicians in a crash up in Alaska. And I have the author that's doing a new podcast on this mystery and why in that last hour. And then we're going to take your calls in the last hour in the last segment on Friday about lessons learned from your fathers, because I think fathers and dads, you know, it's vital. It's vital right now that we get that. And so with Father's Day coming, so that's Friday's show, not having anything to do with COVID or Black Lives Matter. So that's nice. I welcome that. And of course, right now in this hour, we'll take your calls. And I've got Eric Moutsos with me. He's the one that was in charge of that great concert with Colin Ray. And big thanks to Colin Ray for showing up for that. Really appreciated that. In fact, we're going to start out with a caller, Eric, and then I want to get to what you want to talk about as well. Does that work?
Excellent.
Awesome. Hi, caller. Oops. All right. I'm trying. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Housekeeping first.
Okay.
Your audio level on KZNU dropped on Friday, and it's about half, and it stayed there, and it's still there.
Ooh, okay. I will let them know. Thank you.
And I just wanted to know, but he, here and gone, he didn't take questions. I wanted to know if Dave Leavitt is the same as his brother,
mm-hmm.
if he's going to hold the legal aliens to the rule of law, or is he going to incentivize them and praise them and give them a driver's license like his brother did,
mm-hmm.
first state in the nation to give illegal aliens driver's licenses.
Okay. You know what? That's a great question. I would actually go tonight at 7 o'clock and ask him.
I will do that.
Please do. Report back. Washington City Library tonight at 7. I think it's great.
Thank you.
Yeah, you bet. Thank you. I think, and it wasn't that he wasn't taking questions. I have more trouble taking calls while somebody's calling in rather than Skyping in, and I can't join the two of you without dropping somebody. So that's why I didn't take any callers. I apologize. That was actually on me, but I think he probably would have welcomed some calls. So that's why I go tonight and ask. I think that's the best thing you can do. And then, you know, report back. So we all understand. I think those are great questions. It's a great question. All right. One more call, and then I'm going to have Eric explain a couple of things we've been talking about. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Hi, quick comment. Answer to the fellow who just asked about David Leavitt.
Mm-hmm.
David, when he originally ran for county attorney in Utah County, he got up in his speech and said straight out, I am not my brother.
Interesting.
And, yeah, he addressed it right off the bat because he doesn't believe the way that Mike Leavitt does at all.
Okay. Hey, good to know.
Just wanted to be sure.
I'm glad he actually said that. Okay, excellent. Yep. Yeah, because I wasn't a huge fan of Mike Leavitt. So that's good to know.
but, yeah, this is a guy who addressed the elephant in the room right off the bat.
Okay. All right. Well, we got to give him that. Yeah. Thank you. Really appreciate it.
Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Mary. And anyway, hat tip to Mary. So, Eric, so what's happening this Friday? I mean, Saturday. I'm sorry. This Saturday.
The 20th.
Yes.
We are going to have a blue rally in Salt Lake City, a blue rally / business revival. So we're asking all people to wear blue. Look, we all know, as a former policeman, we all know that there are problems within any organization.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not racism. And right now, the police, in my opinion, need our voice, because without law and order, we will have anarchy. And with these people that are set, they don't understand what they're doing. They are setting it up so that they can have even more tyranny. When they're trying to defund the police, I'm just reading right now, Albuquerque Democratic mayor announces plan to shift police resources to unarmed social workers. They want our police to look like Europe. That's the plan. That's what they're doing. They're moving the goalpost so that we can have the military come in when they need to, or when they have to, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
And that's who's going to be running our cities, is the military under a martial law.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the plan. Now, these Black Lives Matter and these people that are going along with it, they have no clue they're being used.
Mm-hmm.
You think the military, they don't play the same rules. They don't play by the same rules. They're not trained to slowly talk, to de-escalate situations.
Mm-hmm.
That's not how they're trained.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're having a blue rally, and it's going to be at 5 p.m. at 451 South State Street on Saturday.
What time?
5 p.m.
Okay.
And we're going to, everyone wear blue. We're going to have speakers. I'm going to talk about the problems that I saw within the police. So
yeah, Eric's a former police officer. If you're just joining us,
I was with Salt Lake City Police for 7 years. They had full on quotas, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to talk about that.
Yeah,
because I think that's the problem in most of these agencies, is that they push so hard to get these stats, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of an aggressive way to police. And in my opinion, we need to be more like firemen. The police need to be more like firemen. Call when you're going. And we need to have sheriffs. We need to have elected sheriffs, not appointed puppet chiefs. That's the biggest deal, because now the people get to vote on who and what they're doing with their law enforcement, instead of a political mayor who can just grab the strings of the chief and just do whatever they want, because that's what you see in most of these big cities. And so I'm going to address those issues. At least what I saw in my 7 years, but it's not racism.
Yeah.
In 7 years, I never heard a peep of racism. Not one peep, even in the back offices, even the back conversations, I never heard it.
Yeah.
So, you know, Eric Holder, when he investigated Ferguson, they did a whole FBI dive into, they didn't find a trace of evidence of systematic racism in Ferguson. And that's how it is across the nation. And so it is a lie that's being told right now.
I think so too, because, you know, I did a Facebook post on this, and it was, what's really going on is, are we the victims of a blanket statement again? Because I honestly could play the same shows and discussions we had 2 years ago and 5 years ago and 7 years ago based on the events going on that brought up the exact same thing. And they throw it out there and they say, we're a racist nation. And I honestly have to say, you know, are we really? Do you really? Because the police are also the makeup of our citizenry. And I don't know any citizens that are full on racist. I don't know anyone that's a full on racist. I know people that can be a little judgmental or biased, but I don't know any racists.
The people that are racist, they hate. They hate everyone.
Yeah.
They hate everyone.
So I brought up this point. It was like, so do you remember Halloween when all the little black kids that went trick-or-treating, they didn't get candy, but everybody else did? No, you don't remember that because that didn't happen. Do you remember all the malls you went to where all the fights broke out over people being denied to shop? Do you remember the restaurants you went to where everybody was turned away of color or for being gay? No, you don't. Do you remember all these instances all year where fighting erupted, violent fighting, because the hateful nation that we are, we're so full of hate that we just going for each other's throats all the time? No.
And then we have, you know, St. George St. George mayor is holding a sign that says white silence equals black death.
I know.
What?
I'm baffled. I'm so baffled. And so none of that happened. You didn't see a slew of racist events happen in this country. And the police department does make up the citizenry, just like politicians,
right,
for bad or for worse, make up the citizenry, right? That's our people that are going into these positions. So you're going to carry your thoughts with you. And so it's not fair to say a blanket statement. It's
and
just
Utah,
not fair.
Utah police, they did great during COVID.
Yeah.
You didn't see, I mean, barring the St. George police, you know, circling the pickleball courts.
That was interesting.
Utah law enforcement did great on not enforcing this health department crap.
Right. You're right. And so does it happen once in a blue moon? Are we throwing out a blanket statement because four people had an altercation that everybody thinks they know what happened? No. Yeah. You cannot do that in America.
There's 100 million police contacts with people every year.
Right.
And there's about 20 million arrests or 10 million arrests.
Right, right.
And then we see those one instances.
Yeah.
Those four guys on George Floyd, two of them were black.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's just astounding that we can walk away going, yeah, we're hateful. We need to start apologizing for the whiteness. It's absolutely heartbreaking to me to see people fall for this. And they get enraged because the media tells them to. And the media tells them how to feel. And they buy it. They believe it. They join a march. They join a riot because now they feel anger. Why do you feel anger? Because everyone's being mean. Really, are they? Are they actually being mean? Because when somebody tells me the police are completely unfair to me and they're consistently showing racism toward me. Really? How many times are you pulled over by police? How many times? Because I know in each of our lifetime, it's not every week.
You can't even see in the car.
It's not every day.
When I would pull people over, whether it was speeding or at nighttime, you don't even know who's in the car.
Right.
You just see yellow car speeding. Yellow car did this.
Right.
And you pull him over. Oh my gosh, he happens to be white.
Yeah.
You know how we would have to clear the call in Salt Lake City? Meaning like, hey, I'm clearing this call either with a ticket or we'd have to say it by the race. So if there was a white guy, clear with a whiskey. Or if there was a black guy, clear with a Bravo. Or if there was a white guy and a black guy and a Hispanic, clear with a whiskey Bravo Hotel.
Ridiculous. Oh my gosh.
It's unbelievable. So that's why this Saturday is really important. If you live in Utah, please, please, please come.
Salt Lake.
Yep. Come to Salt Lake, 451 South State, on Saturday at 5 p.m.
It always interests me because at the same time, I don't want to see cops in schools. At the same time, I don't want cops looking for a crime, to ticket a crime,
a
crime.
That's what I'm going to talk about.
When I'm not committing a crime and I'm not hurting anybody. And so we've had discussions on the air both ways. All for the entire almost decade I've been on the air. And that's why blanket statements don't work. And people have to stop buying into that because they tell us how to feel as a nation. And I don't like it. And people should be rebelling against that and asking more questions. They should be able to process and analyze. But we have a whole segment of society that can't go back a month ago and they can't look forward. They are only stuck in today's emotion. And it's killing our nation right now because we're stuck on these blanket things. But I always appreciate even you as a cop saying, oh, here's the problems in the department, because it's like government. You're always going to have some issues when it comes to people that are given power
over
change. People.
Listen.
You're going to have it.
I got reports, and I didn't see it specifically, but I'm pretty sure this happens in most departments.
Right.
They change the code. So it's called an NCIC code. So what will happen is, let's say it's a fight. Well, they'll go in and they'll have to change the code to a domestic, meaning they'll send that code to the Fed to say, look, we have this many domestics. We need your money. And that's the crookedness.
Gotcha.
And it happens in hospitals. It happens. So they change the codes so that they can get funding. So that's why they push us to go out and make these arrests. And they code them so they get federal funds.
No, that's sick.
And not every police department does it.
Right.
But a lot of them do.
Right.
A lot of them do. When I was on motorcycle squad, we had to do 20 tickets a day.
Jeez.
Or I should say 20 points.
Yeah, 20 points.
One ticket is a point, and then a DUI is worth 10 points. And so I would do DUIs.
Right.
And so I had 160 DUIs in 1 year. Wow. I was the leading officer in the police department. And they would give us 1 hour off per arrest under the table. So we were incentivized to make arrests.
See, that's wrong. And everybody should be like, that is not okay.
Yeah, so you don't defund the police. You just say, this needs to change.
Yeah, and it's so different across the country from city to city and locality to locality and state to state, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. See, this is why I appreciate Eric, because he's willing to call it out. And then he's also willing to say, you know, you attack it in all different ways all throughout the country. This is not it should never be a blanket remedy, a blanket solution. Because whenever you see a blanket problem and a blanket solution, usually groups are offering it, governments are offering it, and it's usually not the right one. Because you can't do that blanket across. Yeah, it doesn't work for everybody. I really appreciate you. So this Saturday,
5 p.m., 451 South State, the 20th.
Excellent.
Wear blue.
Okay, so this will be on its own short podcast. Pass this around if you'd like to go to this and you'd like to have your crowd go to this, your friends, your family. Make sure that you get this podcast and share it. Thank you, Eric. Appreciate it. All right, be right back with Melissa. Do not go anywhere. This is going to be a really interesting hour. I'm going to take your calls in this hour, too, because we really do want you to chime in. KateDalyRadio.com. Be right back.